This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees their obnoxious behavior and their misbehavior towards him. They turn away from him. They walk away and poke fun at him. And he's still going out. He's still facing them. They're showing him his back. He's still facing them. And Allah says, no. No, I know you love them, but you have to stop. Because they will think you're doing this because you're desperate. And you are my messenger. You are not desperate. Allah needs no one.
When najmi idha hawa, ma dhanna sahibukum wa ma ghawa.
That's when a group of men surprised King Dawood in his chambers. He's the prophet that had 99 wives, right?
No, it says...
Hey, just use Bayina TV. We break down every section of the Quran into straightforward, understandable pieces. I started Bayina TV to make the Quran accessible for people of all levels of understanding. The beauty and guidance found within its passages shouldn't be limited to scholars. Click the link to start your journey into the Quran and Arabic today.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. فأعرض عمن تولى عن ذكرنا ولم يرد إلا الحياة الدنيا ذلك مبلغهم من العلم إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بمن اهتدى ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ليجزي الذين أساءوا بما عملوا ويجزي الذين أحسنوا بالحسنى الذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش إلا اللمم إن ربك واسع المغفرة وَأَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنْفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى اللهم اجعلنا من المتقين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, once again everyone, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. By the grace of Allah, we were able to finish section number 2 of Surah An-Najm yesterday. And every time I conclude a section, I try to show you the structure or the organization of that section. So that's what I'm going to show you now first, so we can get that out of the way. You have an idea of how the layout and the design of these ayat was put together by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you can, somebody can, I don't know where you are. Can you guys show the screen? I need to show the screen. Okay. So in this second section, the first thing was, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى أَلَكُمُ الذَّكَرُ وَلَهُ الْأُنْثَى تِلْكَ إِذًا قِسْمَةٌ ضِيزَى إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءٌ سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ لَاتْ مَنَاتْ عُزَّى. Really, daughters for you, daughters for God, sons for you. What a stupid division. These are just names you made up. That was the first thing he talked about. The next thing he talked about was, you has sent no authority for this. And إِنْ يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنِ, they follow nothing but assumptions. وَمَا تَهْوَ الْأَنفُسِ, and it's just stuff that they love. This is all driven by their loves, their lowly loves. And then أَمْلِ الْإِنسَانِ مَا تَمَنَّى, and just their wishes. They just have whatever they wish for. That's what we discussed yesterday in some depth. Then Allah mentions, Allah owns the end and the beginning. فَلِلَّهِ الْآخِرَةُ وَالْأُولَى. That's what Allah talks about next. So we've got three items so far. When we move on, Allah says, angels cannot speak on your behalf on judgment day, not in this life, not in the next life. They cannot do shafa'ah for you. They cannot back you up. Even if all the angels got together, لا تغني شفاعتهم شيئا إلا من بعد أن يأذن الله لمن يشاء ويرضى. So we talked about that. Then he also mentioned that these are just, you know, إن الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة ليسمون الملائكة تسمية الأنثى. People who don't believe in the Akhirah, they name angels female names. They have no knowledge. And then he mentions, ما لهم به من علم. They have no knowledge of this at all. إِنْ يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ. They follow nothing but assumptions. وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. And assumptions cannot help you against reality. They can't change reality, your assumptions. Your imagination is your imagination. That doesn't change reality. By the way, I didn't say this yesterday, but it should have been said. Nowadays, there's this term that is becoming very popular among Gen Zs. It's my truth. You ever heard this? This is my truth. I got to speak your truth. What that means is describe reality based on your feelings. Okay? So reality is being determined by what? Feelings. And they call it speak your truth because I have my truth and you have your truth and this one has his truth and that one has her truth, etc. And somebody's truth is they're a zebra and somebody else's truth is I'm a banana. Somebody else's truth is I'm a pineapple, you know? And I'm a bird, I'm a Pokemon, whatever you are, this is my truth. Allah says, وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. These assumed truths of yours, they cannot change reality. They can't free you from reality. مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. Now, this is all section two was. And I colored it this way for a reason. You've got an A, B on top. So two colors. And then you've got an A, B on the bottom. Two colors, and then you've got the C in the middle. Now look at the A. It was Lat, Manat, Uzza, daughters, and made up names. And look at the A on the bottom, the darker brown on the bottom. Angels cannot intercede. Feminine names are assigned. And then he says, there's no authority. And then he says, on the bottom, he says, there's no knowledge. And then he says, all you do is follow assumptions. إِنْ يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ. And then he echoes it again and says, إِنْ يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ. And then he says, you just follow your wishes. And at the bottom he says, but you can't change reality. Wishes and assumptions can't change reality. So the A corresponds to the A, the B corresponds to the B, and the center of it all is the ultimate reality, which is what? Allah owns the beginning, but Allah owns the end and the beginning. You see that? So that's a glimpse of what happened in the second section of the surah. Now, again, I'm repeating this because I'm fascinated by this. Quran was given as an oral tradition. Sahaba were not saying, look at section one, look at section two, look at A, B, C, then look at A, B again. They weren't saying any of this. They were just reciting it. And when you're reciting, you don't have a chance to edit your material and move things around. You don't have a chance to erase and rewrite or reorganize because when you guys write an essay for your seventh grade English exam or English paper, then the professor says, take out this sentence, it's redundant, take out this paragraph, move this introduction here, do this here. And that's why you do it on a Word document, right? And then students back in the day, they would write on a chalkboard or something so they can erase it because they need to rewrite again and rewrite again. But the Quran is not being given as a written tradition. It's being given as an oral tradition. What brain capacity do you have to speak like this? Like this. And this is supposed to be just, yeah, the surahs of the Quran are so random. The subjects are just all over the place. Are they? Your face is all over the place. The Quran, the Quran is... just, it's perfection. The more you contemplate it, the more its perfection manifests itself. Anyway, now, we are entering the third section of the surah. And the third section of the surah is going to have something in common with the fourth section of the surah. Both of them are going to begin with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam being, Allah, they will begin with the Prophet being addressed. Allah will now talk directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here he says, فَأَعْرِضْ عَمَّنْ تَوَلَّى عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. Therefore, fa is fa sababiyya, يعني فنتيجة لذلك, as a result of all of this, therefore, ignore, turn your back, أعرض, turn away from or ignore whoever turns away from our remembrance. I'm going to give you an easy translation first. Ignore whoever turns away from our remembrance. وَلَمْ يُرِدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا, and wanted nothing but worldly life. Okay, so once again, ignore someone who turned away from our remembrance,
and wanted nothing but worldly life. That's the summarized statement that's being made in ayah number 29. Let's look at the word ignore. A'rid. So a'rid and urd was used for a wide mountain. It was also used for a large army. You know, when a large army appears, it takes over kind of the ridge and the horizon. So there's a width to it, and the mountain has a width to it, and something wide in the sky that obstructs your view, like clouds, not skinny clouds, wide clouds that you can't see the end of them. They're obstructing your view from the sun, those kinds of clouds, or swarms of locusts, which you might not be able to relate to, but you might watch a YouTube video or something about that. Swarms of locusts that take over the sky and you can't see the sky anymore. And the swarms of locusts are not shaped like a square or a circle. They are wide. There's a line, like a flock of them, right? So, dhahaba 'adban min si- and this is offensive, but body shaming was okay in ancient Arabia. It's actually dhahabat 'adban min simaniha. They would say about a woman who gained a lot of weight, she got 'ird. She got wide. So they I didn't say it. They said it thousands of years ago. They're dead. You can write a letter. If you have an issue with this, you can send a fax to the Saudi embassy. Let them know that their ancestors were messed up. Okay. عَرَضَ بِمَعْنَى إِمْرَارِ الشَّيْءِ أَمَامَ النَّظَرِ. So عَرَض comes in its origin with the meaning of, another meaning of عَرَض is actually to show, to put something on display. To put something on display. So, you know, ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. So he presented them, put them on display. He put Adam alayhi salam on display and the children on display before the angels or the things, right? So this word, arada, you have to understand something cool about it. The idea is there's the, like, let me explain with the example of the mushaf. This is the width, right? And this is the skinny side. So if you want to see, like, this is limiting your view of the book. But if I opened it up, you see the full length of the full width of it. This is the book is truly facing you. This way, the book isn't facing you. So when you're presenting something and the width of it, like you turn fully towards it, that kind of presentation where you get the full view of it, that's actually called arad. Arad is also used for a side, one side or the other side. The idea is in a presentation, you face something and you see all sides of it. So when something is in full view, face to face, that's actually called also arad. Now, there's an Arabic word at the bottom there called salbul ma'khadh. Let me explain what that means first. In Arabic, it's really cool. That's why we learn sarf, etymology in Arabic. There are words, when you add a letter to them, many times an alif or a hamza, when you add that to them, they become the opposite meaning. So it's a really cool feature of the Arabic language. So for example, shaka means he complained. Shaka means what? He complained. Ashka, what did I add? I added an alif, means he addressed the complaint. He got rid of the complaint. He solved the complaint, ashka. Okay? So it became the opposite. The negative became the positive. You understand? So the same way, you have the word arada, which means presented. And arada actually means, and presented face first, presented face to face, brought in full view. Arada means took away from presenting, turned away. And that's where the meaning of ignoring came from. So arada is actually the opposite of the origin of the word because of the hamza in it. A'rada is the opposite of arada. This is lughatul adad. This concept, not lughatul adad, but this is called salbul ma'khadh, meaning the root has a certain meaning, but when you add a hamza to it, it becomes the opposite meaning. Okay? So there are other words like this in Arabic, like qasata and aqsata. There's another example. Qasata and aqsata. Qasata means he was unfair. So the jinn say, وَمِنَّ الْقَاسِطُونَ وَمِنَّ دُونَ ذَلِكَ. قَسَطَ means he was unfair. أَقْسَطَ means he got rid of the unfairness, which means he was fair, he was just. But it actually has to do with removing unfairness, because it's the opposite of قَسَطَ by adding the alif. That's سَلْبُ الْمَأْخَذِ. Okay, so أَعْرِض is one of those kinds of words. It means to get to turn away from what you were originally facing. Now, why is that word significant? What it illustrates, and that's why the bottom says ignoring, but ignoring is the opposite of wide, facing something directly and presenting. Now you know why it's the opposite because of that comes up, okay? Now, why is this significant? We'll see in a moment, but before we do, let's look at the other word here. It said, turn away, أعرض, the instruction to the Prophet ﷺ, عن من تولى, turn away from someone who himself turns away. And another word for turning away is now being used, which is تولى. You could have said here, أعرض من أعرض عن ذكرنا. أعرض من أعرض عن ذكرنا. Or you could also said, have said, تولى عن من تولى عن ذكرنا. Like Allah says other places, تولى عنهم. Turn away from them. But he used a different turning away for the Prophet and a different turning away for the Quraysh. So there's definitely a comparison that's being called for. There's a principle in Arabic, إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ تَفَرَّقَ, when two words have similar meanings and they're close to each other, the point is you're trying to highlight what makes them different. So let's look at the word تَوَلَّى, which also can be translated turned away, but where does it come from? الْوَلِيَّ الْبَرْضَعَ عَلَى ظَهْرِ الْبَعِيرِ أَوَلَّتِ هِيَ تَحْتَ الْبَرْضَعَ. I couldn't, you know, I brought the bow to demonstrate. I couldn't find this to bring you. This is the saddle on a camel. Okay? So the saddle on a camel sits on a camel for a really long time because you don't get on a camel ride for 10 minutes. You go on a camel ride for months and months and months. Now, if you're wearing a wristband or a watch or something and you don't take it off for many days, what happens? It starts leaving an imprint on your skin. It starts getting really stuck to your skin. When you're trying to take it off, it feels like you're peeling a sticker and maybe it wants to take a piece of your skin with it, right? It becomes fused with you. So what they did, because they didn't want to hurt the camel, it's going to have to wear the saddle for a long time. So they would put like a leather, softer leather underneath the saddle and then put the saddle on top. So that part underneath was called the waliya. The waliya, the part that's really going to stick to the camel. When they take the saddle off, the thing that's still going to be stuck to the camel is what? The waliya. And if they try to take that off, it might pull its hair, it might hurt it. So they're going to leave it there. You understand? So that, so this is actually a word for, the tawalli comes from the word for something sticking close to you until it almost feels like it's inseparable. لُزُومُ شَيْءٍ آخر تَبِعًا لَهُ مَعَ نَحْوٍ مِنَ الْإِجْتِمَالِ. When something follows something and gets stuck with it, almost as if they become together. They become one. وَلِيَ فُلَانٌ فُلَانٌ تَبِعَهُ قَاتِلُ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَكُم مِّنَ الْكُفَّارِ. Allah says, fight those disbelievers who followed you. They followed you. Meaning, wherever you took a step, they were right. They were stalking you. They were stuck to you like that leather on the camel. That was the word that was being used. يَلُونَكُم. Nowadays in Arabic, we say attali, right? Attali, the next one, which is actually right next, fused, comes from the same origin. وَمِن مَعْنَى الْلُزُومِ مَعَ اجْتِمَالِ وَلِيَ الشَّيْءِ عَلَيْهِ مَلَكَ أَمْرَهُ. This is from where we get the term you might have heard. This is my wali, right? This is my wali. And تَوَلَّى الْأَمْرِ in Arabic, when you take charge of something, meaning now, this is someone I'm stuck to. Or he's stuck to me, or they're stuck to me, and they, wherever I go, they go. Whatever decision they make, I make. So this became a figurative meaning of two people that are together like that. By the way, from this, you get a really beautiful connection with Allah. Two words are like this, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and الله ولي الذين آمنوا. عوذ in Arabic is actually, you know, like some trees, they get moss growing on them, and it gets really stuck on those trees. And they use عوذ for that, or عوذ. And when you're, I know you guys aren't butchers, but butchers, they have a hard time peeling the flesh off the bone sometimes because the fat is really stuck to the bone. That fat is called عوذ also. عوذ بالله actually means I'm clinging to God. I'm clinging to Him like moss on a tree. I'm clinging to Him like flesh on a bone. In my fear of the devil, you know, in seeking protection from the devil. That's a'udhu billah. That's ma'ad Allah. Similarly, when Allah says He's our wali. In a'udhu billah, we're sticking to Allah, and in Allah is our wali, He is sticking to us. He's fusing Himself with us. It's really beautiful that we have this kind of a relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now, another meaning of the word waw, lam, and ya, it actually has to do with facing also, just like a'rada. It has a similar direction to it too. Tawalla. But you can use it, tawalla ilayhi, he turned towards him. Tawalla anhu, turned away from him. It could mean towards or away. Depends on what preposition you use. If you use an, like this ayah, it's turn away. But tawalla ila dhil, Musa alayhi salam turned towards the shade and he sat under the tree. Tawalla ila, but not tawalla an. The Prophet is told, turn away from them, tawalla anhum. But what does it imply? It actually implies you're turning away from someone so you can stick to someone else or something else. So now there's the two opposite meanings. And this is where we're going to compare these two words before the break. Man, how much time is it? My God, that was just two words. It's almost time. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, ayah 32 is going to be ambitious. But anyway, we're going to try, inshallah. So فَأَعْرِضْ عَمَّنْ تَوَلَّى. The Prophet ﷺ is facing them like the width of the book I showed you. And he's being told, don't give them your full focus. Don't face them like this. Don't give them your 100% attention. These people that I'm talking about in this ayah, they don't deserve that 100% attention from you. He's not talking about turn away from the people of Mecca. It's a certain group he's talking about. Then he says, so, and this has a kinaya. Kinaya means there's a hint. And let me tell you what kinaya is, an easy example. If I say, for example, it's hot in here, what am I trying to say? Turn the AC on, right? That's called kinaya. When you say something without saying it. So easy definition of kinaya, saying something without saying it. That's what kinaya is, okay? So if the Prophet ﷺ is being told, do i'rad, it means the kinaya is you were doing a lot of ard. The hint is you are really facing them, you're focused on them, you're thinking about them, you're running after them, you're trying to talk to them. You need to what? Stop doing that. And in it, there's a hint towards the kind of commitment the Prophet had, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to people who are really offensive to him. That is a really deep thing you guys have to understand. I don't care if it takes us longer. I have to tell you this. If somebody hates you, they insult you, they troll you, they talk down to you, they make fun of you, do you want to talk to them? No. And as they're walking away, would you walk after them and keep talking to them? No, because what does it make you look like? Makes you look pathetic. Makes you look like a loser, desperate, obsessed, clingy. Because they have something of value and you're only finding value by sticking to them, even if they're insulting you. If you have self-respect, if they insult you, you say, I don't like your face anyway. You want to turn away? You want to block me? I'll block you right back. I'll block you first. Because if somebody turns away, then you know what? I could do that too. Let me show you how it's done. So when they turned away, the Prophet ﷺ still wouldn't turn away from them. But why is he doing that? Because they have something of value or he has something of value? Here, the comparison is a child doesn't want to take medicine and turns away and yells at the mom. Does the mom still go after the child? Why? Is the mom less in value? Is the mom? No, that's just out of love. That's because the child is stupid and his brain hasn't developed yet. He needs the medicine. He needs to take it. And she'll still run after him. Rasulullah ﷺ sees their obnoxious behavior and their misbehavior towards him. They turn away from him. They walk away and poke fun at him, and he's still going out. He's still facing them. They're showing him his back. He's still facing them. And Allah says, no. No. I know you love them, but you have to stop. Because they will think you're doing this because you're desperate. And you are my messenger. You are not desperate. Allah needs no one. Allah needs no one. You turn away from them. This is what's being said. This is not turn away from everyone. This is turn away from a certain kind of person. You understand? Turn away from someone who themselves turned away. Now, what did tawalli mean? Attachment, remember? So what do we learn about them? Their turning away is something else. Their turning away is because they want to attach themselves to something else. And so their attachment is something, and what they want to attach themselves to makes them never want to look back at the Prophet. We don't know what that is yet, but it is something that's sticking to them, or they're sticking to it. And as a result of that, they show their back to the Prophet ﷺ. So Allah is basically saying to the Prophet, don't be a chaser. And here, before we take our 7 minutes break, I want to tell you something about runner-chaser psychology. You can look this up. So if you Google this, you'll find articles on it, pieces on it. Runner-chaser psychology. Okay? So what happens in relationships, parents, children, spouses, you know, whoever, sometimes when the relationship is problematic, one person becomes a runner and the other person becomes a chaser. They keep texting, where are you? What you doing? Where are you going? How are you? Hey, 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 remember me? I miss you. I miss you. And they say, I miss you, not because they just wanted to say, I miss you. They're waiting for you to say, I miss you too. They're chasing after your response. Don't you love me? They're waiting for a yeah. You know, it's like, cause they need to feed off of the attention. So they have become the what? They become the chaser. And the person you're running after has become the what? My God, so annoying. Busy right now. Can't talk. They become the runner. And the more you chase, the more they what? Run. And then they say, can you stop being so clingy? Can you stop being so obsessed? Can you just give me some space? I need to breathe. You're too much of a chaser. I'm tired of running. God, leave me alone. Sometimes siblings do this. Your little sister, what you doing? What you doing? Do you think, can I come in your room? Can I talk to your friends? Oh, your friends are so cool. And the older sister's like, get away from me, Fatima. Mom! So annoying, always following me. What are you looking at me for? You know, some siblings are like that. Now, what happens is these chasers, they go to the psychologist. They say, why does he keep running? Why does she keep running? And the psychologist tells them, because you're a chaser, that's why. Why don't you stop what? Why don't you stop chasing? See what happens. All of a sudden, you stop chasing. And for the first few days, your sister's like, finally, freedom. But a couple of days later, your sister comes to you and says, what are you doing? Because she misses being what? She misses being chased. Because when she was being chased, she was more valuable. And you were not. When you stopped chasing, she became less valuable. And now she misses it. It's like, hey, he's not. Why aren't you chasing? Hey, you know what I'm doing today? I'm busy right now. Really? You're busy? I thought I was your busyness. This psychology is something that makes the runner arrogant. The runner becomes arrogant. Allah does not want to feed the false pride of the runner. He says to the Prophet ﷺ, أعرض عن من تولى عن ذكرنا. You need to stop chasing. I know you're chasing them because you love humanity, you love your people, you want them to. And how much did Nuh alayhi salam chase his people? 950 years. And by the way, he finally stopped chasing them and started building a ship, an ark. When he was building the ark, he wasn't chasing them anymore. And they missed him. So they came to make fun of him. They came after him. Hey, what you doing? Building an ark? Why do you have time for him now, bro? Go do your farm. Be with your kids. You were so annoyed by him. You used to pull your clothes in when he walked by. And you used to just hope that he would disappear. You used to stick your fingers in your ear. Why are you coming and making fun of him when he's building the ark? Because you miss being what? Something's off. So this is actually a very powerful lesson. And even when you mean well for someone and you're giving them good advice and they're not listening, many moms come and say, I'm trying to tell my son, but he's not listening. I keep telling him. Lady, a'ridi. Just ignore for a little bit. Let him come back. Let him feel the void of not being chased a little bit. But like your approach is working. The more you chase, the more they what? The more they run. You're making it worse. So this is, أعرض عن من تولى عن ذكرنا. How much time? Oh my God. 3 minutes. I'm going to give you your break. And then we'll finish ayah 29 when I come back. Inshallah, we get to ayah 32 today. Inshallah. It's some amazing stuff today, by the way, guys. I just pray Allah gives me clarity of thought that I can share it with you, all of it. I was hoping I'd be done with 29 by now because the heavy stuff is in the next sessions, but we'll see. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hey guys, you just watched a small clip of me explaining the Quran in depth as part of the Deeper Look series. Studying the Quran in depth can seem like a really intimidating thing that's only meant for scholars. Our job at Bayyinah is to make deeper study of the Quran accessible and easy for all of you. So take us up on that challenge. Join us for this study, the deeper look of the Quran, for this surah and many other surahs on bayyinatv.com under the Deeper Look section.